Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Apollo Hospitals Limited earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Vaswani from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nirav. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this call hosted by Apollo Hospitals to discuss the earnings for the fourth quarter and full year of financial year 2024-25, which were announced yesterday. We have with us today the senior management team represented by Mrs. Suneeta Reddy, Managing Director, Mr. A. Krishnan, Group CFO, Dr. Madhu Sasidhar, President and CEO of the Hospital Division, Mr. Madhivanan Balakrishnan, CEO of Apollo HealthCo, Mr. Sriram Iyer, CEO of AHLL, Mr. Sanjiv Gupta, CFO of Apollo HealthCo, and Mr. Obul Reddy, CFO of the Pharmacy Business. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Please note the disclaimer mentioning these risks and uncertainties on slide two of the investor presentation that has been circulated earlier. Documents relating to our financial performance have also been posted on the corporate website. I would now like to turn the call over to Mrs. Suneeta Reddy for her opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our call this Saturday. I trust that all of you are well and have received our earnings documents, which we shared yesterday. I'm happy to share at the outset that in FY25, we have achieved two significant milestones. We crossed rupees 20,000 crore in consolidated revenue and came in at rupees 21,794 crore. Alongside, healthcare services revenue crossed a milestone of 10,000 crore and came in at 11,147 crore. We believe these milestones reflect the scale and depth of our operations and give us the impetus to move ahead. Our performance in quarter four FY25 reflects continued strength in execution, underpinned by resilient operating metrics and sustained growth across specialties and geographies. This has helped us to conclude FY25 on a very strong note, with healthy momentum and double-digit growth across all three verticals of healthcare services, Apollo HealthCo, and AHLL. Our healthcare services business continued to benefit from strategic investments in high-end specialties and a sharper focus on optimizing both payer and case mix, all of which contributed to steady improvement in ARPOB and margins. Our investments in clinical programs, medical talent, and digital transformation have further strengthened Apollo's position as a leader in integrated healthcare delivery. Apollo HealthCo has now delivered a third successive quarter of profitability after breaking even in quarter two earlier in FY25. AHLL has sustained its growth trajectory, supported by ongoing expansion in diagnostics and primary care formats. This performance positions us well for sustainable growth and enhanced profitability as we step into FY26. Against this backdrop, let me share some of the key highlights of our performance for the quarter. Consolidated revenue grew by 13% year-on-year to 5,592 crores. Within this, healthcare services business delivered 10% year-on-year revenue growth to 2,822 crores in quarter five. This is after a 2% impact on account of patient flows from Bangladesh. Revenue from cash and insurance segments saw a year-on-year increase of 11%. Collectively, these segments accounted for 83% of our inpatient hospital revenue. Inpatient volumes grew by 4% year-on-year. Our focus specialties, cardiac, oncology, neurosciences, gastrosciences, and orthopedics, continued to expand at a healthy pace, recording a volume growth of 8%, which reflects in our ARPP as well as margin, despite the setback from the Bangladesh patient flow. In addition, higher secondary specialties saw robust growth too, supported by the expansion of insurance coverage in the recent years, which has increasingly enabled patients to access organized healthcare services. Group-wide, occupancy stood at 67% in quarter four. Occupancy in metro cities was at 70%. ARPOB grew 7% year-on-year, touching 63,569 rupees. We believe that the key driver, such as increased surgical volumes, a higher complexity case mix, and further incremental improvement in payer mix in select geographies, will continue to support ARPOB growth going forward. Apollo HealthCo reported revenues of 2,376 crores, growing 17% year-on-year in quarter four on the back of omnichannel pharmacy growth and double-digit growth in GMV. Revenues from Apollo Health and Lifestyle increased by 11% on a year-on-year basis to 394 crore during the quarter. Consolidated EBITDA was at 770 crore, registering an increase of 20% year-on-year. Within this, the healthcare services EBITDA was at 686 crores, a growth of 16% year-on-year. Healthcare services margins remained robust at 24.3, reflecting the high proportion of tertiary care in the mix. Pharmacy distribution business within Apollo HealthCo recorded an EBITDA of 162 crores, a growth of 21%. In the digital segment, cash loss were at 80 crores, compared to the 111 crores in quarter 4 FY24. In addition, there was an accelerated ESOP charge of 45 crores in this quarter. Therefore, Apollo HealthCo reported an EBITDA of 36 crores in quarter 4 FY25, up 3 times from rupees 12 crores in quarter 4 FY24. AHLL delivered an EBITDA growth of 47 crore, representing a 32% year-on-year growth, with margins improving from 12% from the 10% in quarter four last year. Consolidated PAT was at 390 crore, growing 54% year-on-year. Within healthcare services, we delivered an ROCE of 27.5% with balanced ROCEs across all geographies, Metro Tier 1 and Tier 2. Private label and generics revenue were at 15.6 of total pharmacy revenues. Our digital platform 24/7 added 2 million users. The platform GMV was at 795 crores, representing a growth of 11% over the same period last year. I now come to the summary of the full year performance for FY25. FY25 consolidated revenue was at 21,794 crore, a year-on-year growth of 14%. Healthcare services revenue was at 11,147 crore, a growth of 13%. Apollo HealthCo reported revenue of 9,093 crore, a growth of 16%. AHLL revenue grew by 14% to 1,554 crores. Full-year consolidated EBITDA grew by 26% year-on-year to 3,022 crore. Healthcare services EBITDA grew by 15% to rupees 2,701 crore. This represents a margin of 24.2. Apollo HealthCo reported EBITDA of 168 crore after considering non-cash impact of 108 crore for the year. AHLL EBITDA grew 32% to rupees 154 crores. Consolidated PAT was at 1,446 crores, a growth of 61% year-on-year. Healthcare services PAT was 1,426 crores, an increase of 25%. Within this, we have ended the year with a robust set of financials. As we look ahead, we are on track to operationalize our previously announced facilities in Gurgaon, Pune, Kolkata, and Hyderabad later this fiscal year. In addition, we are happy to announce a significant expansion in the Sarjapur micro market in Bangalore with an addition of 700 beds in two stages. Stage 1, the acquisition of an existing 200 bed hospital, a lease facility where we can commence services within 2 months. Stage 2, establishing a 500 bed greenfield hospital in very close proximity, for which the land has already been purchased. Within this, we will operate a 700-bed integrated facility and will take our bed strength in Bangalore to 1,500 beds, along with our strong network of clinics, extra and cradle facilities. We are also pleased to announce capacity expansion of 160 beds in our existing Jubilee Hills and Secunderabad facilities in Hyderabad, which will be operationalized this year, along with our planned expansion in Gachibowli, which will take our overall bed strength to 1,500 beds in Hyderabad. With this, we are committed to spending over 8,000 crore for the addition 4,300 capacity beds over the next 3 to 4 years. We have already spent 1,000 crore for land acquisition, security deposits, and project development. Balance project cost to be incurred over the next 3 to 4 years is around 6,000 crores. We have significant cash and cash equivalents on hand and generate healthy free cash flows in excess of 1,000 crores per year after accounting for routine items. We believe we can fund this portfolio expansion primarily through existing funds and internal accruals. We continue to execute on our strategic priorities, strengthening our core healthcare services, building clinical differentiation, expanding our digital retail healthcare footprint, and enhancing patient outcomes through rigor and innovation. With strong fundamentals across the business, plans in place to mitigate the headwinds caused by disruptions in inpatient flows from Bangladesh, and several facilities set to be commissioned in a phased manner, we are confident of sustaining our growth trajectory in FY26. As always, our focus remains on creating long-term value for our patients, partners, and stakeholders, while driving operational excellence across the board. On this note, I would like to hand it over to the moderator and open the line for questions. I have our CFO, Krishnan, with me, Dr. Madhu Shashidhar, CEO of the Hospital Division, Sreeram Myers, AHL from AHLL, Madhivandan Obal Reddy and Sanjeev from Apollo HealthCo with me to take all of your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. I request all the participants kindly restrict to 2 questions per participant and rejoin the queue for a follow-up question. The first question is from Nanda Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on 24/7. Ma'am, I want to understand, some of your competitors have tied up with quick commerce platforms to deliver medicines in 10 minutes, 10-15 minutes. So how do you see competition ahead for your e-pharmacy business? And also for 24/7 on a standalone basis, when do you see cost break-even in view of higher ESOP charges which we saw in the fourth quarter? So that's my first question. Thank you.
Madhivanan, will you take that?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning to everyone. Good morning, ma'am. So to answer the first question, as far as the Q-commerce alignment is concerned, as of now, we do not have any plans of working with any of these. We have received multiple offers, but we believe that is not in the best interest of what we are trying to put forward. We already have an alliance with Amazon over the last 2 to 3 years. So that we are continuing to build, wherein we will try and work towards how to make that as a sustainable growth engine. As far as the response to the quick commerce companies are concerned, this particular phenomenon started around a year back. Since then, Apollo 24/7 has also launched a 19-minute proposition, which today contributes to almost 30% of our total GMV. So we believe when it comes to medicine, as against a 10-minute proposition, something in the range of 19 minutes makes a lot of sense as it drives emergency purchases and at the same time ensures that we are completely in line with all the regulations that are needed from a healthcare perspective. This particular 19-minute has already been rolled out in our top 6 cities. As we progress, we intend to extend it to the next 10. So as we speak, we have no intentions of tying up with anybody because that basically relegates us to a back office kind of a function, which one of our group companies, Keymed, is already doing. So that's something which will not work. And over the last 2 quarters, this particular approach of ours has been sustained. When the Squid Commerce initiative started, we actually saw a little bit of a drop in our health essentials, the FMCG products that we sell. That has come back again reasonably well, and we think we will continue to stick to our guns of building our own capabilities. That was on point one. Point two, as we have always commented, we stick to a path of converting into a cash break-even between Q3 and Q4. The last one quarter, that is Q3, Q4 sequentially for FY25, it was a bit flat in terms of bringing down our expenses because of one or two one-time expenses. But our trajectory to continuously reduce costs, at the same time, increase our net revenue on the pharmacy business, which effectively drives the turnaround, is on course. Our unit economics is steadily increasing. And if I were to see the trends for quarter one of this financial year, we are very much on that path of meeting cash even between Q3 and Q4.
Okay.
This is Sanjeev, and I'll take the last question of yours, which is related to the ESOP cost. Yes, as Smita ma'am mentioned that, we had accelerated the ESOP cost coming in Q4. That is one of the reasons that we have a higher cost in Q4. However, for the current fiscal year, which is, FY26, we are looking at about 100 crores of overall ESOP cost in line with the previous year. However, the next year it is going to be almost one third of the cost. So the much of the cost is going to be only till this year end, current fiscal year end.
Okay, actually, one clarification which I was looking on the quick commerce space. So, aren't you a bit worried that your competitors might be taking a larger chunk of the volume because of this 10-minute delivery or so? Actually, I was looking for some clarification on that part.
So let me clarify. So that's what I said. Over the last 2 to 3 quarters, this particular trend essentially impacts us on the OTC products because the processes that are required to ensure that we are completely on board when it comes to various regulatory requirements. I think Apollo Pharmacy and Apollo 247 are in a much better position to validate that. And while we saw some numbers going down, we are back on course. So we are watching this space very carefully. A lot of these players are doing some experimental efforts in Bangalore. Our Bangalore numbers are holding up. In fact, we continue to grow there. So we will watch it. So we are very much aware about it. We are not being stone-headed about it. We will keep looking at it. But at this point of time, the equations do not justify that. And we will believe we are on the right path.
Sure. And my second and last question is on the healthcare business. You have maintained a margin close to 24% or so. So how should we look at this trajectory given a couple of new units are coming up in 26 and beyond?
But I think the thing to keep in mind is that the existing units will continue to generate very strong cash flows and therefore, stronger EBITDA margins. The second initiative of ours, which is to lower the cost, will somehow bridge the gap between the losses that we might incur in the last quarter of the year. It will probably, about 140 basis points estimate is what we see, and 80 basis points improvement will come from cost. The balance 60 basis points will come from improved revenues because of the initiatives that we are taking within the hospital, from improving payer mix, to complexity to improving ARPOB, all of these initiatives will, and higher occupancy, all of these will generate stronger, very strong cash flows and therefore minimize the impact of new hospitals.
So very broadly, you can maintain margins around 24% despite new beds coming closer to that.
This year, yes.
Thank you very much. Sorry to interrupt you, Damayanti. I'll request you to come back for a follow-up question, please. Thank you. A kind request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant and rejoin for a follow-up. Next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Just to follow up on the digital business, could you give us an update on how the new businesses are doing? I think we introduced insurance in March. Has that started reflecting in GMV in the quarter, or that's yet to come by? And my a follow-up question of the digital business is, if I look at the pre-op margin, they seem to have moderated in the quarter. So, you know, when do we start seeing that improving to achieve that cash break-even in the second half that you mentioned?
Mandeep, please take it.
Yes, ma'am. Sorry, I was having a little bit of a disturbance. If I can just have the repeat, please.
Can you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, sorry about that. Sir, I asked about the new business segments in digital. I think we introduced insurance in March. So I wanted to check if that's already started contributing to the GMV in the quarter, or that should come through. What's the progress we see? And a follow-up on the digital business is on the pre-op, you know, pre-OPEX EBITDA, that EBITDA margins. When do we start seeing improvement in, you know, that number? Because that seems to have moderated quarter on quarter.
Okay. So on the first bit of it, the insurance business, we officially started from the 1st of April. When we became a full-fledged corporate agent, well, before that, we were a marketing agent. Once we got the license, our number compared to last quarter has already doubled. So we are on course this quarter to move at around 6 to 7 crores at a top-line basis. On an annualized basis, we have plans to exploring in the range of around 75-odd crores. This particular business gets driven primarily by the number of insurance partners who we are able to add to our portfolio. As of now, we have 4 operating. While we have signed up around 12, 4 of them are already operational, which is Nivabhupa, ICICI Lombard, Star Health, and HDFC Ergo. In this quarter, even before June, we would have another 4 people coming in, and this has a direct impact. So this is a combination of digital, telecalling, and certain POSP on the field. So we expect the first quarter to close around 6.5 crores. And then this will continuously progress so that we exit with around 8 to 10 crores on a monthly basis. So we are pretty much on course. The technology is getting built up. The fields are all coming in. But like I said in the earlier investor call also, this year we do not expect it to contribute to our bottom line. But at the same time, we are not expecting any kind of a losses. We will break even on this business on an end-to-end year. Next year, there would be a considerable slash significant increase in the margin that this business will cover. On the second line of business, more than as a standalone, it is actually a contribution to our pharma business. This is our SBI card. It got launched this month. And we are seeing some very good interest. Already has support people who are registered and express their interest. We hope to get into a reasonably strong number, which will help us to get some fee income. But more importantly, it will actually drive us towards ensuring a sustainable business on both the pharmacy as well as the diagnostic side. So these two are on course. And as far as your second item is concerned, Q3, Q4, in fact, our margins compared to the last quarter are slowly increasing. I'll ask Sanjeev to sort of add on to it. So we are on a consistent trajectory. Both in terms of cost reduction or unit economics, which at the same time last year was in the range of around 60 bucks negative, is already down to around minus 27 on the digital side. And the unit economics continues to improve. As our AOE is stabilizing, our cost of delivery, which is roughly around 9% of my total operational expenses for the at a unit economics level, is also coming down, and we are reasonably confident that we will on that part. So both on the revenue side as well as the cost of delivery side, we're bringing down. At the same time, our discount structures, which used to be reasonably higher, is also stabilizing in the range of between 13% to 14%. So all these three things should start seeing from Q. If this quarter one, you will see upward trajectory.
Yeah, that's helpful, sir. Thank you so much. My second question is on the hospital margin. Is it fair to assume that a lot of the capacity that we are adding will probably come through only in the later part of the year, based on your commentary that the losses would only be visible in the fourth quarter? So we don't expect any of these hospitals to actually, start in the first half of the year?
No, maybe not the first half. Some of them, which are expansions, for example, Secunderabad, Wellness, which is an existing hospital, we don't expect significant losses. Pune, okay, which is a new hospital, is, where we could see a slight, we could see some small losses. So we're not really expecting to see huge losses in the second quarter, definitely not, where we would have added another 150 to 200 beds. But by the end of the year, yes, the fourth quarter, there will be significant bed addition.
And both Jubilee Hill and Secunderabad are coming soon in this year itself?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Next question is from Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So just a clarification on the operating beds. While most of it as an operational beds are expected to come from 4th FY 26, and which is where that impact of 146, is that my understanding correct?
That is correct. So what will happen is by Q3, you will see us operationalizing Pune. You'll see us operationalizing Calcutta, a defense colony, and the first Sarjapur acquisition that we have set. All the four of them should get operationalized by Q3. That's the internal target that we have.
Got it. And so just on GMV, if you could sort of, clarify what kind of growth one should think of with this new business initiatives for FY26?
This is for Apollo 24/7?
Yes.
Okay. We are planning on the digital side alone a GMV increase of 25 to 30% on an annual basis. We are already seeing that trajectory happening. We closed Q4 with 795 crores GMV, which is a combination of pharmacy consult and the hospital IPOP and diagnostics. We did not see a big growth in our IPOP business, so we are working towards that. But pharmacy, we are very much on course. If you remember, last time I spoke that our new normal is 140. The first 2 months, we are already at around between 135 to 136 crore on pharmacy alone, which is just on the direct platform. You combine the Amazon platform as a part of that, we are very much on course. So 30% growth in GMV, like I said last time, around 1,000 crore is when we expect this break even to happen.
Got it. Just one more, if I may. Considering the cash break-even for Apollo 24/7, maintaining the EBITDA margin in the healthcare services side. So if I, sort of combine this at a console level, so what kind of EBITDA growth, one should think of for FY26?
I think, as you know, we don't guide you for any EBITDA growth. I think you're right in your assumption that, you will see EBITDA expanding because of HealthCo clearly, helping us in the overall EBITDA. You'll have to model both the EBITDA separately and, you can look at the numbers. As we said, at a broad level, we would like to maintain our healthcare services numbers, including the new hospitals for the coming year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Nanosham Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. Just the question is on hospital growth. If you could guide us on how we should look at growth for the current fiscal 26, And also, if I were to look at Q4, actually growth slowed down for the hospital business, 10%. You attributed at the start to 2% from Bangladeshi patients. Is it the one that has had the most impact? If you could clarify.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, if you look at the overall hospital's growth, you know, Bangladesh, you know, the impact was pronounced in Q3 and very pronounced in Q4. Clearly, the Bangladesh business has, you know, for the whole year impacted our revenues by at least 100 crores, and which is 1.5% for the full year. And somewhere if you look at our EBITDA margin also, you know, had Bangladesh been there with us, we would have been in line with what we had guided to you of at least closer to another 50 basis points on the EBITDA as well. Could have been possible had Bangladesh continued. So, which was in line with what we had committed to all of you a year back. So that's something, going forward, I think it's, you know, we have always said that we would like to look at it organically at a low teen growth is what we would like to focus on, low to mid teen on the organically itself, on the healthcare services. And the potential for new is you know, all these bets coming together, it will start contributing significantly from FY27. And we are hoping that in FY27, we can add over 1,000 plus crores of revenues from the new hospitals itself.
So, Krishan, there is no mitigation for Bangladesh, right? So, we should assume it's not coming back in 26.
I think we have mitigated it with the higher Congo tea and other things. Madhu, if you want to chip into that Congo tea revenues.
A couple of things that we've done. We've focused on the quality of our revenue. As Ms. Sunita alluded to earlier, there's a much higher contribution of Congo specialties to our revenue. We've also pivoted to other international markets, and we continue to do that. Those markets have increased substantially year on year, and we will continue to focus on those markets for next year as well.
And also in terms of local market share, I think that, you know, we are seeing improvement in local markets, and the fact that the quaternary care hospitals that we have in the metros are really bringing in patients from surrounding markets, and this is why we're witnessing a high occupancy in these markets. So we will continue to work with you know, the surrounding localities and the cities around us, and this flow will continue into the next year.
Helpful. The second question is on the 80 basis points and 60 basis points you called out. So what are these, sorry, I'm not sure that you articulated what are these cost measures? And I think 60 basis points is ARPOB increase, like I think the Congo and other things. So if you could just qualitatively give color on what are we cutting on cost and what are some of the improvements we foresee on ARPOB. Thank you.
I think we spoke about this a couple of calls back. We have invested substantially in technology, and now we are starting to see the application of that technology and improvements in productivity. So some of these are related to how we deploy our workforce and improve the productivity of the workforce. We are also using our, we are being very careful with how we, our expenses on materials costs, and understanding how we can improve sustainability as relates to materials when we take care of the high complexity cases. So I think what is important to keep in mind is that while the complexity of our cases has increased, we have still, despite that, been able to expand our margins. So we are very focused on both the materials cost as well as the productivity of our workforce.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abdul Qadir Puranwala from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, ma'am. Thank you for the opportunity. A couple of questions on your healthco business and on Kymed. So starting with Kymed, I think this year we have seen a close to 22-23% kind of a revenue growth, while the margins on a year-on-year basis have dipped a bit. To have your thoughts on, you know, what has happened in Kymed, which is having this kind of a growth, and while we were expecting some better margins, the reason for this margin slip to happen on a YOY basis.
Sanjeev, would you have visibility now?
To an extent, we can give answer to this question, sir. So I think, Keemed, you saw a slightly dip in the margin, you know, for or EBITDA for current fiscal year or for the previous fiscal year, only because of the reason that one-time expenses related to the entire, you know, acquisition of various, you know, subsidiaries into the company, as well as, you know, the overall, you know, there were a little bit of fee, you know, legal fees, you know, higher legal fees for the year. So that is one of the reasons that has knocked out about, you know, a few basis points. This is one point. And the second is that I think during the year we also saw, you know, certain mix undergoing change and resulting into a few drop. But as we move into this year, I think the current fiscal year, you would see a better margin, not only by virtue of the one time or the things not being there in this year, but also a focus on, you know, certain different categories of the products would also mean a better EBITDA margins for the company. So certainly from this fiscal year, you would see, you know, we are going back to the, you know, a better EBITDA profile.
Sure, understood. And secondly, on the annual guidance of, you know, CAGR guidance of close to 24% from 25 to 27, while, you know, this year, I think our pharmacy business would have grown close to 16-17%, and top of that, Keemed would have added. You know, if you could throw some light on, you know, how are we planning to achieve that 24% growth for this combined business, taking it to close to 25,000 crores?
Yeah, so so couple of things. You know, one is that, you know, while we still believe that, you know, we'll be able to hit about 25,000 crores in FY27, but at this stage, the, you know, the clear visibility comes around 24,000 crores. I think somewhere in the Q3 or Q4 of FY27, the run rate should be in the range of about 25,000 crores. And as we said in the previous calls also, you know, the growth across all the businesses are very strong. You know, when it comes to Keemed, we grow nearly 20%, and a variety of reasons for that growth coming in over there. As far as the pharmacy front-end business is concerned, you know, last year we saw slightly a dip in the growth only because of the reason that a couple of things happened. You know, one is that we had the general elections in the country, so many of the approvals took time. Secondly, we had most of the stores coming into the fag end of the year versus equal or a symmetrical, you know, quarter-on-quarter increase or new openings. So I think those things are passed, and some bit of private label work that we saw, you know, happening in Q4. I think current year, as we see the pharmacy business, the front-end business should be able to grow anything upwards of 20%. And of course, digital business, Mr. Madhivan had talked about the growth of about 25-30%. All this put together, we strongly believe that we should be able to hit a number close to 24,000 crore for FY27. And somewhere in Q3, Q4 of FY27, the run rate should be hitting or crossing 25,000 crore. Thank you.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Ashish Kumar from Ambition Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, I only had a small clarification regarding Bangladesh we have spoken about. So, should we say that the worst is over and on the base of FY25 would not see much impact the next year?
So you will see one more quarter impact, which will continue in Q1, because, you know, clearly Q1, we didn't see any impact in last year of Q1. So the impact has been most pronounced in Q4. And after that, you should see it go away.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Nanav Dinesh Pater from White Oak Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. Just to clarify, so in the presentation, you show ESOP charges only under 24/7 and online pharmacy distribution. So in the firm, only employees working on this vertical are getting ESOPs, and senior employees in other verticals are not getting ESOPs.
No, we do have a plan for ESOPs for senior employees, and others for our doctors. So there is a plan. I think after the when the first quarter is over, we will announce that plan.
But as of now, the last so many quarters, I see only ESOP charge under that vertical. So as of now, only those employees in the firm are getting ESOP.
The board has basically cleared a plan. We will work on the implementation and the impact and share it with you the next quarter.
Understood. And just a second clarity on this, the ESOPs, when the charge that you showed, these are ESOPs given of the listed entity or the HealthCo, which is now merged with Keymed. So which company's shares are they given?
HealthCo.
Okay, understood. And one more question, if you allow. So in the HealthCo, there is online pharmacy distribution and there is online pharmacy, offline and online distribution, and then 24/7. So when I just look at the EBITDA for the full year, there is a slide which talks that pre-24/7 cost, EBITDA is 140 crores, right? Now this 140 crores would have a take rate on the 3000 crore GMV and would have EBITDA margin on online pharmacy distribution. Now, based on earlier conversations, if I take out the take rate on 3000 crore of GMV on the platform, then there isn't much EBITDA left for online pharmacy distribution EBITDA. So is there a fair understanding, and how are you allocating cost? Because see, you have an offline distribution and online distribution sharing a lot of infrastructure common among the two. So how are you distributing the cost between offline pharmacy distribution and online pharmacy distribution?
Sanjeev, please answer that.
It's a common platform, you know, for the entire thing, as you rightly said, that, you know, the same platform is working towards, you know, fulfilling pharmacy, diagnostic, consultations, insurance now, and, you know, subscription packages, so on and so forth. So it is extremely difficult to, allocate, expenses for 5-6 verticals which are firing as of now. This is first point. Second, the way we look at the way we have presented in the earnings call also, what we look at is that overall year basis, you know, we had a revenue of about 1,080 crores with an EBITDA margin of 13.1% for the last year versus 11.4% of FY24. So there is approximately 200 basis points of upward movement. And we continue to we have been guiding on this point that, you know, 13.1% in this year should be in the range of anything upwards of 17-18% with addition of insurance, with addition of various other levers of growth in margin that the company is working on. I think we believe that is the way to look at it. However, in case you would like to understand the allocation, maybe we can take this point offline and work out something and then can discuss with you for sure, sir.
Yes, good luck to that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Harit Amin from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. So can you clarify the timelines for completing the Keymed merger?
15 months.
15 months from now. Okay. And the guidance that you've given for FY27 for the combined business, Apollo HealthCo plus Keymed, you clarified on the top line part. But on the margins front, the guidance is 7-8% for FY27. I'm assuming it's the exit rate. But from the current level of around just over 3%, that's a significant expansion. So if you can give some color on the drivers for this.
Sanjeev?
Yeah, well, let me just take this question. Thank you, ma'am. So, see, if you look at today, when we close Q4 or the full FY25, we had 3.2%, and our guidance is, 7% plus. Now, this 3.2% also carries, ESOP cost as well as, the operating losses at 247. And in case, as I said, that ESOP cost is going to be
you know, tapering down by almost one third. They'll come down to one third from next year onwards, which is FY 27. Digital losses will also be made, you know, break even by, I mean, we believe that, you know, our revenue growth as well as various other things that we're doing in the digital segment would make the digital P&L break even. If I remove these two things, if I assume these two things even today and remove these losses and the ESOP cost, the new number that comes for the EBITDA percentage is 6.4%. So that means clearly once the digital losses are off, the ESOP cost is rationalized to a lower number. We should be seeing, you know, blended with offline pharma and KeyMed to be in the range of about 6.5 to 7%. This is one point. The second important point is that they themselves, both these businesses are also bettering their gross margin, net margin and the expenses line, resulting into their EBITDA percentage being better. While offline pharma we are seeing 7.4%, there's a clear room of expansion of another, you know, 100 basis points over there as we progress into next year. And in the KeyMed also, since the last fiscal year, we had one-off expenses, which I talked about a while ago. We believe that at least 40 to 50 basis points upward movement in KeyMed EBITDA is also onto the table. These two things put together, plus the digital, I think 6.4%, which is today, or 3.2% blended, should certainly be hitting a 7% number.
Okay. Just to confirm, the break-even that you plan to achieve in online pharmacy distribution and 24/7 by the end of FY26, that's excluding ESOP costs.
That's right.
Yeah. And then the second question is on, yeah, the 24/7 GMV, which is around 800 crores for the quarter. Online pharmacy, and within online pharmacy, how much is prescription drugs versus, let's say, OTC, FMCG type of formats, which I believe are more vulnerable to quick commerce competition?
Our ratio is roughly 80-20. In the sense that our RX medicines and other a part of the OTC products contribute around 75-80%. Health essentials, FMCG business like moms and babies, etc., contribute another 20%. Like I told you, we did see a blip in the last Q2, Q3, but we are back to our normal numbers. And in fact, we are seeing many more categories opening up, such as nutritional supplements, which will go forward. So in spite of the quick commerce, we should be able to hold on our numbers.
Thank you very much. Harith, I'll request you to come back for a follow-up question, please.
Sure.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Just following a little bit on the previous question, on the 24/7, you know, you've talked about 17-18% EBITDA margins, but on the, so on the operating expenses, how do you see the operating expenses playing out? They were about like 480 odd crores this year. Do you see them coming off in absolute terms?
Let me just thank you, respect. I think, you know, certainly, you know, there is a room of reduction, you know, for about 15-20% on the expenses. So I strongly believe that while the expense for the whole year has been in the range of about 480 crores, But current fiscal year, we should be seeing anything less than 400 crore or maybe 400 to 425 crore. That should be the number on the expenses side. And you would appreciate that, you know, running a business would require certain expenses and obviously you, beyond a certain point, expenses will not fall down. And I think the overall business that we've created so far, the overall tech investment that we've done into the branding, technology and what many other things, you know, will help us scale our business. Insurance will help us build our margin profile. And expense lines, anything around 425 should be able to, we should be able to bring it down to. And that should help us, you know, hit the break even in the Q3, Q4.
And this is a number which stays more or less with inflation increases going forward. That's the way to think
yes.
about it.
Yes.
And from a GMV to revenue conversion, what should we look at with the new services as a number?
So currently we are at roughly 37%, and I think my estimate is that, you know, we should be able to hit closer to 45 to 47%. That should be the revenue to GMV conversion ratio.
So essentially, we're looking at 45 to 47% GMV to revenue conversion, margins inching closer to 20% in F27, and operating expenses staying around 420-430 levels. That's the way the P&L should shape up 24/7.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so secondly, on the diagnostic business, there's been some YOY slowdown in this business, clearly, at least especially in the last quarter, and there has been a very sharp improvement in the specialty clinics business. So two things. One is, A, if you can explain these two. And third, you know, what is the overall plan for AHLL? Strategically, where does it fit in the overall scheme of things for Apollo?
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Sriram here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I think I'll take your first part. Yeah, in diagnostics, there has been a slowdown. I think one of the things is we have to reset the model of our franchisee business. And I think for that, we have to do some changes with respect to the pricing and the commission modeling. So obviously, we'll do that change, and hence there was a bit of a slowdown, I think. But we have successfully managed to build a model which is more sustainable and profitable going ahead. And I think the entire last 4 quarters, there was a lot of work around different channels and getting the cost under control. If you look at diagnostics over the last 2 years, we have improved EBITDA by 4.5%. So there was a journey that was taken, and I think now we are done with that, and you'll get to see starting this quarter high teens growth in terms of diagnostics. So that's point. The second point, you're right. On clinics, definitely our focus is on working very closely with hospitals and really driving ProHealth and the specialty checks by a further number. So we have done very good volume growth last year, and we are continuing to see a very good uptake in our ProHealth volumes even in this quarter. So that will continue to be a focus on clinics. I think with respect to AHLL, I think we are clearly, while we have a range of business units, and each one of them has a separate target segment, we are really doubling down on diagnostics and on primary care clinics. And as I said, clinics is all about being in the catchment, working closely with hospitals to drive the IPs, and of course, drive more preventive health in that particular catchment. So we are confident about driving a high teen growth as we start this year.
Just to add, clinics, you know, this is probably the only conceptually clinics that are created with GPs and some specialists that will look after primary care. Probably the only model in India that has this primary care focus. So we believe that in the long term, this should not only be, you know, we'll be able to take it to scale, get better revenues, but funnel into AHEL will also be significant.
If I mean, last one on that, on the diagnostic business, what kind of... you know, the peer set is around in the mid-20s, EBITDA margins. You know, where do we see our diagnostic business really lending up over a period of time and over, you know, the next 3 years thereabouts?
So, definitely, I think we are also looking to a number of about 20%. I think we are about a couple of years away. But steadily, as I said, we will be looking forward to grow about 2 to 3% this year on our diagnostic margins. Compared to our peers who have already expanded and have a full volume, our focus this year is to drive volume growth, because we have our significant expansion right now in this financial year. So when we go and expand, the raw comes in, and the operating break-even is about 18 to 24 months for every new lab that we expand. So we definitely have a target of 20% in mind. That is a couple of years away. Focus is on driving volume growth, focus is on improving lab expansion, and on sustainably growing volume and profitability.
Thank you. Nitin, I'll request to come back for a follow-up question, please. Thank you. Next question is from Nan of Prashant from Unived Corporate. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah. Can you share the timeline for company's Gurgaon project, which a reference of which was made in the opening remarks? And secondly, can you share the progress made in the Worli project, Mumbai, which was announced earlier?
So the Gurgaon project should be more in the Q4, more towards the end of Q4. Around March is when we are expecting that to be commissioned. And that would be the time frame when we should look at even the hospital in Hyderabad around that same time frame. Worli, we have gotten the we are getting all approvals, and we are hoping that we should start to dig ground by after the rains. That's the planning.
Okay. And my second question is regarding the associate company Indraprastha Medical. Ma'am, in the earlier conference call, you had mentioned about the capital expenditures to be made in that. And has the capital expenditure been completed, or is it in progress as of now?
No, it's in progress. And that will be made by Indraprastha Medical.
So you had mentioned earlier about the parking neuro center and the expansion of rooms. So which part is pending in that?
I think we've not yet started, but we have all the drawings and the it's in the process of getting the approvals.
Oh, you have not got the approval for capital expenditure. Okay.
We've got approval for capital expense. We've got approval for FSI. We're just going through the submission of drawings.
And what should be the timeline for that then, for the expenditure?
No, it should take 2 years.
Okay, because, okay, fine. 2 years from now, from here, from May 25. Okay. Fine.
Yes.
Thanks a lot, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Nano Sriram, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question is on the market structure of the pharma industry. Both retail and distribution today are, you know, fragmented. So where do you see the long-term trends for each of them, or, you know, what is the level of consolidation that can happen in India?
Madhi, you want to take that?
Yes, ma'am. So, two things. Let me handle the online business first. So, like I said, online today contributes only 15% to our own pharmacy business. And if you have to take the much larger industry, it continues to be remain fragmented. There are only two or three major players besides us. One is Tata, one MG, and maybe pharmacy. All of them are in a consolidation mode. So, this is where I think the Apollo Pharmacy story plays out to its advantage of looking at a very strong omni model. And internally, we would like to keep a target that which we can be focused on, which is how does the 15% of contribution to the overall pharmacy business moves up to the range of around 30%. I think that's when the significant our ability to retain customers, offer an omni kind of a proposition will work. As far as physical business is concerned, the Apollo Pharmacy story still plays out. It's 6,600 plus outlets, the footprint that we are creating. There are still some markets which are available, such as the western part of the country, to some extent the north, which we will continue to grow. There is still, we almost open one outlet a day. So we are still looking at anywhere between 375 to 500 odd outlets is still in the plan. So we see this consolidation happening. In between, we do keep getting offers, but there are other offers of other chains, but which we evaluate very, very carefully. But at this point of time, we are not seeing any major synergies which could accrue given our roadmap. So that's something very much not there. We still feel that this business will continue. If you have to look at our growth itself, it's 17%. But if you looked at only Rx, Rx was actually growing at more than 23-24%. The degrowth or the slowdown in the growth actually happened on the FMCG and other health essential sites. So we are very bullish that the Rx business will continue, and we would stick to our plan of opening up stores, increasing our digital penetration, and looking at the synergies between these two businesses. And now with KeyMed also coming into the scope, there is enough of supply chain synergies which you should be able to take advantage of.
There has been a slowdown in the FMCG sector that has been there throughout the country. So I think it was reflected in AHL's performance.
Okay, so my question is, so there are about 600 stores for you, and the organized chain, correct me if I'm wrong, might be less than 20,000, right? So, but then there are about 9 lakh pharmacies today in India. So I'm just trying to understand the big picture. How many, let's say, in terms of the total addressable market for the offline channels, how many store count can we have? Let's say 5 to 10 years down the line.
As you know, we are expanding every year with the addition of organized market in the small
organized market. Sorry, from Zappi, we lost your audio.
We lost the audio.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Can you repeat the answer once again, please?
Yeah, as we have already informed the market, we have been adding about 600 stores every year and we'll continue to add that. But as you rightly observed, organized market as a share today is very insignificant against the total market of 9 lakh retailers. It will take long time to get a market share of that. But you know, today, given our scale, we are at about 8% of the market. We should aim for 20% in the next 5-6 years with the network addition and also entering into the new geographies where we are not present. And for your other question, distribution business will remain separate from the retail because distribution business is geographically organized in India and we don't see any shift happening in that. So that business continues to be a separate, you know, with its character separately.
Thank you very much. Sorry to interrupt you, Sriram. I'll request to come back for a follow-up question, please. Next question is from line of Ridham Sharma from Deloitte. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Good afternoon, everyone. My question is regarding Apollo Cradle, the mother and child segment of Apollo. I just wanted to get an understanding what would be the current revenue mix like within the gynecology, pediatrics, and any other segment that they offer. And what is the growth rate that we are seeing for the Apollo Cradle and expansion pipeline, whether it would be a greenfield or a brownfield project, what are we aiming at?
Sriram?
Yeah, so basically if you look at our current mix, our current mix is primarily around OBG and around women's gynae surgeries and so on and so forth. Our mix of pediatrics is quite low right now. But we are happy to share that we just inaugurated our latest flagship Cradle Royale in Electronic City in Bangalore a couple of weeks back, where we have launched the PICU setup. This has got the pediatric ICU, and we will be doing a lot of pediatric cases there, and all the complicated pediatrics will then be seamlessly handed over to Apollo Hospitals. So I think in the coming year, we'll expect the pediatric mix to go about 10%. Right now, it is primarily focused on OBG and gynae. Alongside said that we have around 12 cradles pan-India, and Electronic City is our newest addition. At this point of time, we are really focused on driving higher utilization. We are present mostly in Bangalore, Delhi, Hyderabad and Chennai. And these are the cities that we wish to stay within Cradle right now and drive higher traffic for both OBG and as I said, for all the women-related gynae and other hysterectomies that we typically do in cradles.
Thank you for this. Just a follow-up question on the same. Like, what would be if I talk about the doctor payout structures and the corporate OD, what would be the majorly contribution in the revenue segment? And if you can highlight some, what would be the payer mix that you can see within this particular structure right now?
So you want to know the doctor payouts as a percentage of this one, is it?
Right.
Can you repeat that?
Yes. I just wanted to confirm about the doctor payout structure. Like within the industry, we can see a particular rate of 30 to 50%. How does Apollo Cradle have this particular structure? And obviously, and also to discuss about the corporate expenditure within this particular segment.
Yeah, so basically, as you know, in this industry, there is a mix of structure that we have. We have full-time doctors and we also have consultants who come and operate. So we have a structure where there's a mix of both the structure that operates. And you're right, our payout structures are around 20 to 30%. Those are the numbers of at a weighted level average. These do differ by city. And as I said, these do differ whether we have a full-time doctor, we have a visiting consultant, or we have a FFS model. So we have all these three models working out. And our endeavor always is to have the best, and we continue to be the best brand. I'm also happy to share that we just received the Times Ranking Award yesterday for being the best Cradle for third year in a row. So Cradle continues to be the most loved brand in the mother and child segment in the country.
Thank you so much for this.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhishek Agarwal from Individual Investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Am I audible?
Yeah. So my question is around the brownfield expansion, specifically the Secunderabad brownfield expansion. So in the disclosures for the 80-bed capacity addition, the project cost is estimated to be 545 crores, which, you know, comes around 7 crore per bed and is way higher than the gen.
No, no.
Yeah.
Secunderabad.
No, that's 54 crore. I think there is an error in the slide there, which is the earnings slide.
Yes, yes, slide 24. Yeah.
Yeah. There's an error.
Okay.
54.
Sorry.
Understood.
Yeah, we saw this.
Understood. No worries. No worries. Understood. Thank you so much. That was my only question, and all the best.
Thank you very much. We take the next question from line of Madhav Marda from FIL. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon. Just one question from my side. On the 24/7, when you spoke about the margins going to 17%-18%, that was in FY 2026 itself, or that's more like by FY 2027? Because I think the number I'm referring to is 13.1%, which you did in FY 2025. So.
This would be in this year.
Just explain.
This increase would happen in this year. Yeah.
Okay. And so the sales to GMV, you said can get to 45% or 40%-45%? I missed that number.
Should be near 45%.
That too, that is also this year itself?
That's right.
Okay. So that means we, I mean, that's a pretty, sort of accelerated, jump in profitability. So that's all being driven by the insurance, vertical scaling up, or there are other initiatives that you could flag? Because that's a pretty sort of, solid improvement in profitability, right?
No, I think two, three things. You know, one is the and Madhav, please add in case I'm missing out anything. So one is the insurance, which is, you know, obviously a high, you know, margin profile business. Secondly, we also started working with, you know, many pharma companies to get the app monetization done. So digital inventory is being suitably, you know, used for, you know, showcasing FMCG and OTC brands and so on and so forth. So that's the second one. Third, there is overall reduction in, you know, discounts that we believe, while partnering through some of the banks, you know, on the card side, the payment mode side. So these three things put together should give us a very high strength on the margin, plus our own income margins, you know, on the pharmacy diagnostic and the consultations and the current set of business teams has also evolved. You know, they are better for the current fiscal year versus the previous year on the strength of the scale. So all these things put together should help us get a better, you know, margin profile for the current year.
So, Sanjeev, summarize it pretty accurately. I think all the three insurance business will obviously have a big chunk, but the top line at this point of time, the GMV for insurance is not significant. By the end of the Q4, we should be in a good position. And what he highlighted, there is a very strong focus on monetization of the various digital assets that we have. That should getting some very good traction. So we have created some unique digital assets on the lines of what WooCommerce and Amazon do. So that's the second contribution. And our partnership with the banks and other financial institutions effectively helps us keep our discounts under control while increasing the GMV. And third, our omni proposition that we do between both offline and online has been growing at a very good speed. We will keep enhancing that proposition. So, and this is all in addition to the margin expansion that we expect to happen in pharmacy as we go towards breakeven.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vivek Agarwal from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking the question. Actually, my question is related to northern region, as far as healthcare business is concerned. Because what I understand is that this is the region where impact of Bangladesh patients should be minimal. But despite that, the revenue growth is slightly subdued. If you look at this quarter, it's around 9%, and full year, it's around 11.6%. So what explains this? Although in some of the other regions, we are continuing to do well. Yeah.
No, I think North Q4 is, you know, traditionally subdued because of the winter months. So there is, definitely, you know, if you just.
So especially in Lucknow and those regions, we see Q4 has always been a cyclical low, and also there was this effect of Kumbh this time in in the quarter. So it was a combination of both that we saw an impact. But otherwise, we're back on track in Q1.
Understood, sir. Thanks. That's from my side.
Thank you very much. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So, thank you everyone for joining the conference, in spite of it being a Saturday. But as you know, Apollo works 24/7. As we conclude our discussion on Q4 FY25, we are pleased with the continued momentum across our core and emerging businesses. Our integrated healthcare ecosystem, which includes hospital, diagnostics, pharmacies, and digital platforms, continues to deliver on both growth and efficiency. We are making steady progress on our expansion roadmap, with multiple new facilities set to be commissioned over the year. In Apollo HealthCo, we remain focused on driving profitable growth, and the team is firmly on course to achieving break-even in the digital segment as guided. The KeyMed merger process is also progressing well, which will further enhance scale and margin resilience in our pharmacy business. We thank you for your continued interest and support and look forward to updating you in the coming quarters.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Apollo Hospitals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.